This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
How many guys brought your Bibles? Anybody bring your Bible? How many guys have been here the last 2 weeks at least, and then this is your third week this year? Man, you've made it. Man, how about great attendance at church? Because I'll tell you, the objective of for our staff all the whole week is just to fill the room. Man, just get you, get your friends, get people with the guest in mind. That's the idea we have. But then the objective of these services is to get you to come back. Because I personally believe that we can help people if we can get them here. Man, if we can get you in the room, we can help you. And that's what's going to happen next week at that healed service. Man, the expectation is for that service, I'll tell you, almost maybe more than any other service we have all year. And it's interesting because this is something, and Sandy and I talked about this yesterday, that this is something that we do all the time. We're believing God for health in your lives all the time. But this Sunday, the third Sunday of the year, fourth, whatever it is, the third Sunday of the fast, we just say, okay, it's just going to be about God's healing provision. The Bible says that God sent his word and healed us and delivered us of all of our destructions. And we've got to honor that. Man, we've got to be able to live in that. The Proverbs 3:5 says, lean not on your own understanding. Man, trust God and don't lean on your own understanding. The first 2 weeks of February, I'm gonna preach and teach and exhort and probably rant a bit about being led by the Spirit, not being led by your emotions, not being led by your circumstances, not being led by your symptoms or the diagnosis you might have, not being led by what the prognosticators are saying about the economy or the market of your business or whatever it might be, but we're truly led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says that those who are the sons, man, those who are led by, they're the sons, they're daughters. Man, we're inheritors of this, but we've got to be led by the Spirit. Man, it's imperative. It's not just about giving your life to Jesus in an experience and saying, okay, my sins have been blotted out, and now I'm just going to trust God that he's going to stay merciful for the next however many years till I die, and hopefully I'll go to heaven. No, you know what? This is a life well lived is what God's called us to. Man, a life that we experience every bit of it. Man, every opportunity that we have to grow in God, we do it. Man, that's what this fast, it's important to me, this fast, because, man, I'm growing in God. I've been doing this a long time, 34 and a half years, but, man, the last few weeks, I've been growing in God. And let me just tell you something else. I mean, this fast doesn't move God, but it has jump-started my year. Incredible news has come, incredible opportunities, just in the last couple weeks. Man, I ran a red light Friday. Saturday. I ran a red light because, man, I got a phone call and some incredible news. Man, I'm just driving and it's like, that red light doesn't mean anything to me. And Sandy's riding with me and she's like, Bill. I'm like, okay, we made it through. But don't be running red lights, but expect good news. Man, turn to somebody and say, good news is right around the corner. Look back at them, look them right in the eye and say, don't quit. Man, you're not, reach your hand out towards somebody sitting by and say, you're not a quitter in Jesus' name. You're not a quitter. Stop quitting. Doggone it. Psalm 37, verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. That the land there is what God's promised. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. This is a powerful verse if you let it kind of sink in. Okay, if the land is what God has promised us, then we live in and on what God's promised. Man, that's what it is. Man, dwell in what God's promised. Man, live on what God's promised. Delight yourself also in the Lord, not just in the stuff, not just what's in his hand, but also delight in his heart. Man, delight also in the Lord. Man, remember, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Man, that's how we delight ourselves, as we acknowledge him. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. You know, at some point, the aspect of this, you look at the video you saw earlier with the Harrises. Man, they're living their dream now. They've got a little baby girl. Man, that's the whole essence of the kingdom is we don't quit. Man, you might get knocked down. Bible says that righteous get knocked down seven times, they get back up. Man, we keep getting back up. Now, there's going to be bad reports. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. That's why we can't be led by those reports. We have to be led by the Spirit of God. We have to be led by what God's promised. We have to choose to dwell, to function, not just to survive in it, but to function in what God's promised. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. I love this. And he shall bring it to pass. That verse, the end of verse 5 is like God throwing down. Man, he shall bring it to pass. Man, that's why I love the whole idea of the tithe. I really do. So many people have such a difficulty with the first 10% of their income. It's like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. How am I going to make it? Man, I budgeted my money and we're just trying to squeeze my. You know what I love about the tithe is God says, hey, try me now in this, that I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. It's God throwing down. I love it when God takes that kind of attitude on my behalf. Man, he has that kind of attitude, man, where it's just him, God throwing down and saying, hey, try me now in this. Man, you watch what'll happen. I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you're unable to receive. That's because how great it is. Man, I'll rebuke the devourer from the midst of you. You know what that word rebuke means? It doesn't mean just shun. It doesn't mean push away. It means to make public humiliation of. Man, the enemy that's trying to mess with your life, God's going to make public humiliation. That's the will of God for you, is for your enemies to be humiliated. Man, that your fruit won't fall immature from the vine. Man, how many things that, you know, you kind of just ran out of gas with, or they just dried up, or you didn't see the fruit, and you didn't see the fruition of it that you've started in your life. You know what? How about that stops? How about you start seeing the fruit? You'll be called a delightful land. Man, God's got, it's good and not evil to give you a future and a hope. That's the plan that God has for you. Man, good and not evil. You should write that down. Good and not evil. I have a future and a hope. Man, that's a great motto for 2014 for people in here that don't have one. Man, a future and a hope. Man, I think about that. Man, I think about being planted in the house of the Lord. The Bible says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And even in old age shall be fresh and flourishing. Man, I'll tell you, the awesome thing about this is that an aspect of this church, a big portion of what God has apportioned this church, is to raise up emerging leaders, just powerful men and women that stand on God's promise. Man, that can minister no matter what the circumstances are. Man, you know, anybody can do it if the money's flowing and there's a bunch of people cheering you. Man, anybody can do it. But let me just tell you, when you start things from scratch or you build things up, when the resources don't show, man, that's what proves men and women of God. And you know what? This place is full of those people. Man, there's hundreds of people that, man, if we just dropped a few of them anywhere, I'm telling you, man, life-giving, world-changing ministry would happen. And see, that's the whole idea. That's when we delight ourselves in him. Man, he gives us the desires of our heart. The first 2 weeks of this year, we started with the first week is that we our game plan, remember? Our battle plan, our life plan for 2014. Well, the first week of the year, we talked about being transformed, that there's a transformation that's happened in our life, that we have been changed just like this, bam, we're changed. It's like, okay, what just happened? I don't feel any different. I don't look any different, but I know things are different. Because the second we talked about a new perspective that we have to have, to take on a whole new perspective. And I believe this is, it starts with our attitude. It really does. The perspective that we take is that I've been transformed, okay? Man, when God sees me, he sees Christ. I'm hidden in Christ now. You know what? When the devil sees me, I'm hidden in Christ. He can't get to me. You know what? Because I'm hidden by the whole nature of God. I'm hidden by the anointing of God. I'm hidden by God's presence, okay? So there's nothing to get it unless I get outside the bounds of that presence. Man, when I want to live my own life, when I want to lean on my own understanding, when I want to do my own thing, when I want to cast away my confidence, when I want to gripe and complain, and when I want to get rebellious, let me just tell you, man, the devil's got something he can aim at. But as long as I'm living, listen, as long as I'm living, man, do good and dwell in his land. Man, when that's the part of my life, I'm telling you, the devil can't touch it. The devil can't mess with it. And see, all he has, and this is what's amazing. All he has is deception. You should write that down. That's all he has. He can't put anything on you. It's just deception. See, he can turn that little sniffle or cough that you might have into something terminal because it's deception. Man, you think about this. I mean, it's interesting because Adam and Eve, when they were deceived and they partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that affected God. But I'll tell you what broke God's heart. What broke God's heart is when they clothed themselves. They were ashamed at the way God built them, the way God created them, and they clothed themselves. And he said, "What are you wearing? What do you have on?" And they said, "Well, we've covered ourselves because we found out we were naked." And God, you know what God's response was? "Who told you you were naked?" Man, it was the first, and that's how the devil does it. Man, what he's gonna do is he's gonna deceive us into trying to do it on our own. He's gonna deceive us and try to, listen, cover ourselves rather than allow, man, God's promise that he's called us to live in to be our covering. See, it's so amazing that God, the Bible says that God's anger is for a moment and his favor is for a lifetime. And you know what? And he becomes our shield. Right here and right now, God's the shield of your life. Man, you look at it, you think, you know, the idea that that nothing can prosper against you, it's because God's your shield. See, we become supernatural men and women because it's not only, listen, and here's what's been rolling through me all morning. What's been rolling through me all morning, since 5 o'clock this morning, what's been rolling through me, man, is it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's not me. It's not I who speak, but it's Christ in me. Yeah, you'll say, yeah, it sounds like you. Yeah, it sure does. Man, it's your vernacular. Yes, it is. But I'm telling you, every single one of you guys have tremendous opportunity to hear directly from God today in a unique and specialized way. Man, it's going to reach you right where you are. Man, there is more times than not, maybe hundreds of times in the lifetime of my ministry that I've run into somebody. They say, "Man, you preached, and God gave me a word when you preached." And then they told me what I said, and I thought, "Oh my gosh, that's amazing! I wish I had said that." Why? Because it's the Spirit of God. See, that's where we start when we're led by the Spirit. Man, that we're led by our peace. It's so simple. It's not February yet, but the first 2 weeks of February, this is what the content's going to be. Man, we're going to be able to recognize God's voice. We're going to be able to recognize the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then we're also going to be recognized when the Spirit of God's tapping the brakes in our heart. Man, when we don't have a release, when there's not a peace to make that decision. Man, how many times have you made a decision in your life and you made that decision because you were pressured into making it, because you had to make a decision? I believe in decisions, trust me. And I think too often that with the void of action in believers' lives, man, is what hooks them and snares them into the trap. Man, I believe that you're when we get lazy and, man, we got a lot of free time and we're not connected to God's house. Man, we're not committed to service in his house. This isn't just about attending church. You understand that? Man, that when you commit to a church, man, you commit to the finances, you commit to the work, you commit to the service, you commit to the facilities, you commit to the programs. It's the whole deal. It's just like raising children. This is just like family. The two things that God ordained. The first one was marriage. The second was the church. And they're both, I'm telling you, very similar. Man, they're both covenant. They're both blood covenant. They're both a tremendous commitment. They're family. Man, that's what they are. Man, they're designed. This is the church is designed. Listen, for it, you think about marriage. You think, oh my gosh, man, we are two completely different people. Have you ever met Sandy Shear? I'm not kidding you. I've been married to her a long time. I'm still trying to figure her out. Man, it's just crazy. I mean, why? We're wired differently. We think differently. We have different approaches. We have different ways. We have different opinions. But you know something? There is a bond between us that'll never be broken in the name of Jesus. But see, so you have to look at that. That's the same thing in the church. Man, you look at it and you think, like today, I thought the music was too short. I'm not going to get all bound up and tee it up about that. But let me just tell you, I might have an opinion about it later on in a meeting this week. I may have an opportunity to vent. But the whole idea is that what are we here for in this church? What is this church about? Man, this church is about helping people. This church is about helping people win. We're just not trying to get people through. Man, you have a couple failed pregnancies. I'm telling you, don't quit. Man, whatever the doctors say, I'm telling you, what does God's word promise you? You stand on that word, and I'm telling you, you're going to be bouncing a five-month-old baby girl on your knee. A smart one, too. But see, the idea of this is that we've been transformed. We have to have a new perspective. And then we get to the book of Acts. The book of Acts is an amazing book, and I'll tell you why. It never ended. It might have 28 or 9 chapters, however many it does, but we're still living in the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, it boiled down to it where Jesus, right after he said, go ye therefore, you know what he said? He said, man, there's going to be power that's going to come upon you when the Holy Spirit's there. When that Holy Spirit comes on you, you're going to receive power. And you know what he said? He says, you'll be witnesses to me. It's funny, because you know what I normally hear quoted about that, is the word witnesses to the world. And that's not what he's saying. He says, you'll be witnesses to me. See, I live for an audience of one. I want to win the world to Jesus, but the way I do that is I'm a witness to Jesus. Does that make sense? I'm living my life. And the statements of my life, the truth of my life, are based upon his promise. Man, the life that he's given me. That I'll be witnesses to him in Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria. You see how it ramped up? He said, look, you're going to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. And then he said, all of Judea and Samaria. And then he said this, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Man, they had to sit back and think, oh my goodness. Man, the third aspect of this, the first one is we've been transformed. And see, this is something you might ought to get the podcast or the recording, you know, or download some notes and just get this in you, that we're not the same people we were. We've been transformed. We've been made new, okay? And we get a new perspective to receive his power. And see, this is the key. The key to the life of God in Christ is the power that's available to us, the power that enables us, the power that enlightens us. Man, in Ephesians, I was reading Ephesians 1 and 2 this morning, and I read it over 2 or 3 times, and it just kept, man, that we have power to be able to, listen, the scales have come off, and our eyes, our sight has been enlightened. Meaning we see things now through God's promise. Man, that there's hope now. Man, that there's a basis to what we believe. There's a basis to our life now. There's this hope that is just, man, I can't imagine. I really can't. I can't imagine, number one, man, but I'm going to skip number one. I can't imagine having a situation in life where things seemed hopeless. Because I'll tell you what I have to do. Man, when I come into a situation similar to the Harris's, man, he said it was like a punch in the gut. Man, he got punched and probably got the wind knocked out of him twice. And you know what's interesting is, how many of you guys remember, man, you're out in the playground or you're in a sporting event or something, the first time you got the wind knocked out of you, how many of you guys remember, you're going to die. I am going to die. You know, and it's like the players on the ground. And I remember being a little kid, and they'd reach down when you're a little kid, when the kid's laying on the ground in a football game, they reach down and they grab the buckle of his belt and they begin to do this with him. Everybody in the stands goes, oh, he just got the wind knocked out of him. Oh, he just got, no, but here's the idea. The idea of this is that it just seems like you're gonna die. It's hopeless. It's not hopeless. It's not. Man, you've gotta learn to take the hit. You have to. Man, in the last few years, I'll tell you, my whole definition of leadership has almost, all of it's become fine print, and a brand new definition's come up. Do you know why it's so difficult for men to be the head of their house? Do you know why it's so difficult for men to be the leader in their home? Do you know why it's so difficult for men to step up in the church? Do you know why there's so many women that are crying out for men to step up? Where are the men? Man, our society has demasculated all the male population and all these men and everything. Everything's just, no, I'll tell you, the whole idea of this is, if you're going to be a man, you have to be a leader. And the definition of leadership is, you take the hit. That's it. You take the hit. And see, we have to look at this. That's what leadership is. Why is Jesus the head of the church? Why is Jesus the leader of the church? He took the hit. Man, we can't cower, we can't flinch, we can't duck because we're gonna have to take a blow. Why? We take it because we're leaders. Because if we're beeping and weaving and bobbing and ducking and trying to, someone behind us is taking the hit. And I'll tell you, there's so much, and this is something that some of you fellas need to take heart in. But when there's a void of leadership, I'm telling you, there's a shelf life to that void because something or someone is going to take that place. And see, we've got to look at our lives and understand God's given us power. That word power is in the Greek is dunamis. I am not a Greek scholar, but it's easy for me to make the connection from dunamis to dynamite. And he's given us a new dimension of power that at that time was so explosive. Man, a rushing mighty wind that hit the upper room, man, was actually a sonic boom. Man, the place that it was couldn't contain it. Man, there was a percussion to it. Now the repercussive impact of that, man, has come on for over 2,000 years. It's still in this place. But you know, the power that God's given us, that we have power, man, that the power of heaven is in our lives now, is at our disposal now, over all the wiles of the evil one is what the Bible says. Man, go take some time this afternoon and just look at every time the word power comes up in the New Testament. Man, you think that I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the wiles of the evil one. Man, I give you power over, and nothing shall by any means harm you. That God's given us power. So what? So go therefore, make disciples of all nations. Man, preaching and teaching in my name. Man, it's going to break conflict. There is going to be an adversarial view of it. There are going to be haters. There are going to be enemies. And they're going to feel like they have a voice. Don't let that deter you. Man, these signs will follow those who believe. Man, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. If they touch any deadly thing, it won't harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. This is power now. But you know what we've got to do? We've got to look past the hit. We can't just brace ourselves and stop. No, you know what? We've got to learn how to take the hit and not break stride. Why? Because we are witnesses to him. Yeah, we've got to be examples to one another. But we are witnesses. He said, you will be my witnesses to me. That's what Jesus said. Oh my gosh, it's so powerful. It's so amazing. Man, I live for an audience of one. I live to please one. And you know what? When that becomes your life, what happens is that power goes on display in your life. Because all the other things that clutter your life, I'll tell you, if you're struggling right now in any areas, I'll tell you why. Things are decent in order in that area. I'll tell you why you struggle in areas, because there's clutter. Everything in the Word is about cleansing. Everything in the Word, listen, it's about sweeping the house clean so that God can fill it with the Spirit. Man, that's what he wants to do in our lives. But you know what? If there's a bunch of clutter in our lives, we're not going to be able to be led by the Spirit. We're not going to be able to function in the power that God's given us. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Everything you put your hand to shall prosper. Everything's been given you pertaining life and godliness. That's that power. It's wonder-working power. It's power that produces wonders. Man, incredible signs and wonders were wrought at the hands of the apostles. Why? They walked in that power. They were jailed. It was, I'm telling you, everywhere they went, all there was adversarial views. I'll tell you why this church is here over 21 years later. Because very well-intentioned people who were very intelligent and seasoned in religion lined up and talked to me and Sandy about how impossible this kind of mission would be in Tulsa. You can't do this here. I had a man come up to me and he said, Bill, please consider you've got a young, pretty wife, you got little kids. Man, consider what you're doing. Because better men than you have tried. And I left there. My first step was like, oh shoot, I better consider this. Man, but then my second step was, let's go do it. This is crazy. See, we've got to let the adversarial part of what religion and even well-intended people that aren't led by the Spirit of God and the enemy, those well-intended things, man, we've got to let the adversarial things that hit us begin to fuel us. Man, were we without anything adversarial, man, without resistance, we never soar. The Bible promises this, that we'll mount up with wings as eagles. Let me tell you what's hard is when the wind's always at your back, it's hard for you to take flight. It's much more difficult. You get a little bit of a headwind, man, I'm telling you, it pulls you. That resistance almost pulls you off the ground. All you need is a little bit of thrust. And that's what God's word gives us. God's word gives us that thrust. Every time I read the word, it confirms the direction of my life. Isn't that right, Sandy? Every time you read the word, it confirms following Jesus. Every time you read the word, it confirms that, man, these adversaries can't stop us. Man, I've got to keep my eyes on him. I've got to keep his word in my heart and in my mouth, on the tip of my tongue. See, that's how this works. And that's how we receive power. Next week, we're going to pray for the sick. We are. Man, there's an element of the church that healing belongs to the church, that we call for the elders of the church to anoint us with all, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Well, you know what? We're going to own that next week. And I want you to do this. I want to commission you today, man, to make sure that you're believing God and expecting for people's lives to be changed, for marriages to be healed, man, for hearts and minds and emotions to be healed, man, for God to, why? Because next week we're witnesses to him. And you know, honestly, what's cool about that we receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us in Acts 1 is that's the last charter and promise that Jesus gave his church. That's the last one. But you know, there's a challenge to that. Man, it's not just a promise that we get power when, no, we've got to be able to use it. We receive power to act. It's in our actions. Next week, we're going to lay hands on the sick. Next week, we're going to look people in the eye that are terminal. And you know what? We're going to command the spirit of death off them, and we're going to tell them they're going to live and not die in the name of Jesus. And you know, you look at it, it's not us. We're just witnesses to him. Man, you think about it. You think about the heart of God. You think about God, you think about what happens when your children are sick, when your children are desperate, when your children might be terminal. Man, you think about God's heart for the lost sheep that are going to come in here next week. Man, maybe even church people that come in here that have ailments or symptoms or things that are plaguing them or on top of them. I'll tell you the word next week. I'm gonna open the door on some confidences that have been in my heart. some things that God spoke to me many, many years ago that have been confirmed, that next week I'm going to share those with you. It's going to give you an opportunity to maybe see a little bit of the working or the backstory on why we do what we do and how we do it. Because, you know, this church, we're not designed really to salve the churched. People that want that church experience. We're designed to reach people that don't want that, haven't had that, have been stiff-armed from that. And I know sometimes for people that, man, once you're in here for a while, it's like, oh my gosh, but what about me and mine? When I can find in the Word where we can take our attention off of hurting people and off of Jesus and get it on me and mine, man, we'll start preaching that here. But see, you got to understand that, man, what I'm believing God for is signs and wonders to be wrought at the hands of the apostles, elders, and disciples. Because that's essentially the entire rank and file of the New Testament church. And you know what? They all come together with one cause and one work and one heartbeat. We've got to be transformed. You have to give your life to Jesus. We have to have a new perspective. You know what? Our lives aren't contingent to what the world says anymore. Man, that's that new perspective. And then we receive power from on high. Wonder-working power. A power that nothing on this planet can extinguish. God, we love you and we praise you. God, we thank you for who you are and what you're about in this place here today. God, I thank you that greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. And God, we consider the power that you've given us today. God, I thank you for every one of these incredible people in Skytook, that your hands on their lives, that you're ministering to them right here and right now in a fresh new way. People that are watching online, all the extension places that this service hits, God, I thank you that lives are changed. Now, God, I remind you that your word is intended to reach the blind, the lame, the maimed, and the poor. And God, I thank you that this next Friday, this next Sunday, God, that we target those four types of people groups, and reach them with the greatest news known to mankind, the saving knowledge of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.